Hi, welcome to Mike M's Weekly Reads, episode 27, and this is the collector segment of this, where we'll talk about the books that I purchased in the back issues. Still at the 50% mark off at the comic shop, I picked up two really nice copies of Tales of Suspense, and the reason I picked this up was because I wanted to see why Iron Man number one was so confusing. So what I'm told is that I should be able to read 99, which is an Iron Man and Cap story, but Iron Man is what leads into Iron Man number one. The Cap story leads into Captain America number 100. And the only thing about the Iron Man one is if you look at the story arc, it's supposed to go Tales of Suspense, Tales of Suspense featuring Iron Man, Captain America 99, and then it jumps to Iron Man and Submariner number 1, which is a one-shot, and then jumps to Iron Man number 1, so it makes it a little harder. And I do own Captain America 100, so that's pretty cool. But 98 features Cap versus the Black Panther, and on the cover of 99, it has Iron Man, and it says, "At the mercy of the Magia." And then we get into some more Detective Comic purchases. So, Detective Comic 338, it has Batman like hitting a brick wall. It almost looks like that Flash cover where you have Jay Garrick running on one side and Barry Allen on the other side, except on this one there's a wall between two people. Batman is on one side, he's punching the wall. It looks like he's breaking the wall apart, which means that he's got some kind of superpower, and the criminals are hunching over a safe, surprised that the wall's being punched in, and it says featuring Batman's superpowered punch. So really cool story, plus it's got a black elongated man backup story. And then we get to 346, another 12-cent book. This is The Machine Gunner is a world-famous celebrity in disguise. Why is he defying Batman to break out of this trap? And then it shows the trap that he's in. Unbreakable jet age plastic, deadly gas, and electrified grating. Batman's inescapable death trap. And then we have Detective Comics 347. At the top it says, "There's never been a story like this. There never will be another. The Strange Death of Batman." And it has Robin holding, usually it's the other way around. It's Batman holding a dead body of Robin. And this time it's the other way around. Robin's on the cover. He's clenching it. This looks like a Joe Kubert cover, but I'm not sure. It's probably not, because Kubert usually signs it, and I don't see it anywhere. But it says, "I'll bring your killer in, Batman, I swear it." And he's reading the paper at Gotham City Press. It says, "Extra Batman killed." And it says, "Warning, do not reveal the surprise ending of our story to your friends. They'll want to get the same kick out of it that you did." Amen. So then we got Detective Comics 348. This one looks like Batman and Robin are being attacked by vultures, huge vultures, eagles, all kinds of different birds. And this is a Joe Kubert cover. And it says, "Here he is, the cagiest criminal in comicdom, the Birdmaster of Bedlam, and how he's gloating over his prize catches, Batman and Robin, and also a new elongated man thriller, My Wife the Witch." Most of these have the elongated man backups, which is cool. Detective Comics 352, Batman's Crime Hunt, a go-go. It says another double-page pinup of Batman and Robin. It says, "Watch out, Batman, this villain is tricky. See, we warned you," and he's got like a gun popping out of his sleeve. And it says, "Now you're really in trouble. Too late, he's got you." But it's a weird cover because it looks like the words are indicating that the villain's winning, but Batman's like punching him in the face, knocking him out. Then we got Detective Comics 355. It says, Holy gallows, Batman's life is hanging by a thread. And it's got a hangman holding Batman by his cape. His utility belt looks busted. His cape looks ripped. And the hangman looks really strong because he's like holding him up off the ground by his cape. And he says, Here, take back your champion, Gotham City. For now on, the hooded hangman is the top man in town. And then Detective Comics 370. This is the, I believe, the first cover that was penciled, Batman cover that was penciled by Neil Adams with Neil Adams inks. And it's got a guy in purple outfit punching. It looks like he's got like a stocking over his face, which is very interesting because I created a character called the Guesser. And one of the things about the Guesser is he's got a huge fear about mosquitoes. So he's always wearing mosquito netting. But he kind of looks like what I envisioned for the Guesser. But Robin's saying, Batman, don't just stand there. Hit him back before he kills you. And Batman says, never under any condition. And Batman looks totally trashed. And it says, the day Batman turned the other cheek. And then we got 382. And this is when the logo of Detective Comics changed to have like the Batman symbol. And then it had Batman and Robin. It says Detective Comics presents Batman and Robin instead of just Detective Comics. And this is a 12-cent issue. And it's got Batman standing over a building. And inside the building, it looks like Robin's in there with some other crook. And at least it looks like Robin. Not sure the way he's colored. But it says, ha, the last person Batman was suspect of cracking a safe is me. So yeah, it must be Robin. It's just bizarre because of the shadows they're trying to overcast, and you can't see the true Robin colors. So that's that week, and stay tuned for the actual breakdown of the books. I'll talk to you later. Hello, and welcome to episode 27 of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Topic today that we're going to talk about before we get into the Weekly Reads is a comment that some podcasters made, not to piss me off, but it made me think, and this kind of attitude kind of makes me upset, is when they say stuff doesn't matter. And it came up because they were going over like DC Comics, and they were saying, well, this stuff doesn't matter because they're just going to relaunch and it's not going to matter. And to me, everything matters. Everything has historical significance. And if it's anything like Flash, like to me, Flashpoint led to New 52, which led to a new continuity. And now this rebirth is not a relaunch. It's kind of like, let's go back to some of the basics. It's not going to change things, so things matter. And what they were saying is, why buy these books? Well, I mean, these final New 52 books could be gems. For example, the Superman story arc, where Superman's dying, is brilliant. The Vandal Savage one was really good too. It just didn't close right, and the editing on that was a little jarring from issue to issue. But when they got those little S's on the books and they started to show some continuity, it really worked. And then you got Batman and a lot of these, like even some of these gems of stories that I'll always remember were like some of those titles that were happening right before the New 52. If I had that attitude where I was like, oh, those stories aren't going to matter, I'll start with the new number ones, then I wouldn't have got to experience these wonderful, wonderful stories. And we got into like a heated debate about this on Gotham by Geeks, where they used Chris used the term, not to hurt, not to be derogatory, but he used the term lame duck. And I kind of took offense to it, and we had a conversation about it, and I think it's in the podcast. It wasn't edited out. It might be like supplemental material at the end of one podcast, but it's interesting discussion if you'd like to listen on to that. But the way I look at comics is I love them so much, and I think that people put their heart into it even if a book sucks. Like they put stuff on the paper for things, and I don't think they do half-ass. I think they do it so they can keep their jobs. I mean, if any of these writers went out saying, "I'm going to write a shitty book," there's no reason for them to do that because it'll put a bad taste in people's mouth for a future book. So why would they want to do that? They do the best they can with what constraints that are given to them with these heroes, especially when they're in tight continuity. And we'll be talking about continuity a little bit as we get into this list. It's going to be a quick one. This was the week, March 29th, 2016, to April 3rd, 2016. And again, use the Netflix ratings. 5 will love it, 4 really like it, 3 like it, 2 did not like it, and 1 hated it. And we had a total of 27 comics. We're going to go from bottom to top. The way that works is the one at the bottom is the least favorite, and the one at the top is the most favorite. So as we go to this list, we have 27 comics, 3 Overground comics, 10 Marvel, and 15 DC comics. We'll start with the 2 out of 5. We had a 2 out of 5, which said I didn't like it. Is Plus Ultra number 2? This. I'm going to keep getting these. I'm kind of fascinated from a creator type analyzing a new universe, what not to do. And the thing that's interesting about this Overground comics, and I don't know if anybody's told him that, or I only know one other person like Rob that reads these. I don't know anybody else on the planet that reads them besides me and Rob. But they're trying to make a continuous universe, but they're doing it at such a slow pace. And I'm not talking like Bendis decompressed. I'm talking like Bendis E to the 2,000,015 decompressed. It's incredibly decompressed. It's exponentially decompressed. It's so decompressed, it almost takes you out of the story. It's like we have an issue of, I'm going to just put on a costume, like I'm going to get dressed. That's an issue. And I don't understand it because some of these concepts, they have potential. And how could they afford to do that to a reader? And the reason I'm saying it is, you gotta give a little more than what they're doing. If it's $3.99 a comic, you gotta give substance, like so, and something to make them want to come back, and they don't do that, and that's their flaw. But it is a fascinating experience to say the least. So Plus Ultra involves a like supermodel in a superhero costume, and this one I think she's changed her costume. And she's busting two guys that are she has to get dressed in order to do it. The Graduate number 3, I think I read number 4 already, but this is about the girl that has the invulnerability powers, and I think this one had to do with her going to like the mall and trying to get a job at like one of those hot stick places. And then she saw a celebrity hero there, and she's dressed ridiculously, like she's got barbed wire on her boobies, and she like asks her, "Why do you have this weird stuff going on?" And it's like, "I have to, if my powers ever turn off," like she's got invulnerability too. I think her name is America, and if she loses her power, she wants to know ahead of time so the barbed wire would warn her if she lost her powers, I guess. It's bizarre. And then Absent Captain, this is my favorite. So 2 out of 5 for Plus Ultra, 3 out of 5 for Graduate, 3 out of 5 for Absent Captain. All of these are written by John Hughes, not the movie creator, but somebody I think who has enough money to make his dream come true, essentially. I just think he could have more of an audience if he started to move the bar a little bit. And Absent Captain is about a super team. And this one has the most potential, I think, as far as terms of storytelling. And it involves a murder of their leader, and they're kind of trying to cope with it. And there's a lot of conspiracy within the organizations about what the company is going forward and who's getting the rights to everything else. So now we enter the 4 out of 5s, which means I really like it. We had World's Finest Comics 302. This was a pick by Russ on Gotham by Geeks. It was an interesting story. It had Neil Adams' artwork, I believe, and it was a pretty goofy story, actually. It was about an actor that was using his last act to pretend that he was like an alien to take out Batman and Superman, and it involved Supergirl and Batgirl and a whole bunch of other stuff. It was weird, but it was fun. Grayson 18. This is a little weird because the team switched, and it's dealing with the end of the organization is what I think it is. But it has characters like Grifter and Frankenstein, and Frankenstein's been making a lot of appearances. I sure like that character. Not crazy about the way they used him here, but it was a good story. Robin, Son of Batman. This one had potential. I usually rate these a 3, and this one had a lot of good Damian moments, even if there were few and far between that I enjoyed. We have Iron Fist, The Living Weapon, 2 through 6. This is the Kieran Dreyer, or I can't remember if that's him, or Gillian. I can't remember the two. But this is him doing the art and the pencils. He's got a new Image, Renato Jones or something, coming out now. I never read this and started reading it. I had them, you know, in a stack, and I really enjoy it. Especially the backstory about him and his father. And I really like that little girl that came back from Kunlun to go get Danny. I like the backstory a lot. So that was that. Moon Knight Volume 6, number 10 through 12. This was more, if I remember correctly, Brian Wood. And this was a continuous story. This was good stuff. We have 1 year later, from Batman 651 to 654. This was another Gotham by Geeks pick, along with Detective Comics 817 and 820. These were a lot of fun to revisit. Yeah, I read them back then. They were really good. Catwoman number 50 had a really good wrap-up by Frank Terry about the bounty that was on Catwoman's head. I've liked his series. It wasn't as good as the previous two incarnations. I am really sad to see that Catwoman hasn't found a place in the new relaunch, but I hope I could see her in Detective Comics or some of the Bat Family-related books. And then we have Real World's Batman, which was a take on a character that he was a character that was slow. He was competent but really slow. He lost his parents and kind of lived and did a hotel with one of the apartment managers, but he worked at a grocery store and he did things, and he loved Batman. Like, Batman 66 was like everything in his world. A matter of fact, he used to play with this girl when he was a kid, and she comes back into his life, and that's what he remembers, is them playing, and life has changed. Now she's a drug addict. She's in this wrong group, and he gets involved with that. And it also has the coming of age and how he transitions from somebody who loved Batman 66 to when, like, Michael Keaton Batman was released. It was fantastic. We had a good time talking about that in Gotham by Geeks. Now we get to the 5 out of 5s. Power Man and Iron Fist number 2. This series is just been phenomenal to me, especially the banter between Luke and Danny. I've always loved them. I found their characters very colorful, and I've loved a lot of what they do. And this series is just off. David Walker is just killing it with the characterization. And as we so I loved it. This is a 5 out of 5. And then the next one is X-Men, worst X-Men ever. This is a guy I didn't even I would never have bought this if it wasn't for the bundle. But it introduced me to this hero who always wanted to be an X-Men or a mutant, and finally finds he does have the X gene. And the X gene, the power that he has, if he uses it, it'll kill him, but he's still able to go to the X mansion and learn things. And this one focused on like Mystique and Beast trying to train him and stuff and give him a suit so he could do stuff. But if he ever uses his power, he'll die. So it's a really weird power. And his best friend got a power too, but he's got a legit power. So it's goofy and it's fun and it's really well written. I love it. And then 5 out of 5, I reread Dark Knight 3, Master Race, Collector's Edition. I think this is epic. I really do. And if they turn this into an animated series, I would just die for it. But in this one, we have a betrayal as Superman's daughter and Wonder Woman's daughter, actually, the older one, actually starts following the Kandor cult and goes after her father. And there are members of this cult that also take out Green Lantern and pretty much take his hand off and let him fall, but do not let him die for whatever reason without his ring. It's just phenomenal. There's so much pacing. There's things between Bruce and Carrie. It's just amazing. And number 4 is no exception. This book is a masterpiece. And the collector's edition, I'm so glad I bought them. So I read them when they come out and, floppy, and then a month and a half later, you get the collector's edition, which is the hardcover. It's just phenomenal. So that's what I got for weeks 3/29/2016 to 4/3/2016. The top books again were DK3, Master Race number 3, Collector's Edition, X-Men, Worst X-Men Ever number 2, and Power Man and Iron Fist number 2. So you had two Marvels and one DC at the top. Thanks for listening, and you can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter. GeekBrunchPodcast.com, that's the website. You can subscribe on iTunes and get it off the feed. We got a Facebook page at Geek Brunch Podcast. You can listen to the episodes there by clicking on the link. It'll take you to the website. And please leave feedback by sending me email at Mike at Comic Book Noise, giving me a tweet at Mike Myers Brunch, or you can go onto the Facebook group and leave a post there. I'd really appreciate it. And please, if you get a chance, leave an iTunes review. Thank you for those that have already, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.